Book of Acts from the original language, from Greek. And we're talking about a very special man in the Bible. He's short-lived. But he was like a stick of dynamite. He was like a Roman candle. He was like a brilliant light. Stephen was a man that we'd all like to be. Now, Sharon was telling me the other day that she read about Stephen's life. He was like her hero. He's like her hero. And she said, "Yeah, I just don't know that I'd have the strength to do what Stephen did." Stephen was brilliant. He had a wonderful mind. He had a spirit that was unfailing. He was a tenacious follower of Jesus Christ. He had a mind that had the ability to put words together. And yet he was called to do menial tasks as a deacon. Yet his menial task, his humility. Stephen was a man of humility. He was a man of tenacious activity. He worked. He worked, he preached. The apostle said, "It's not fitting that we should leave the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word to wait on tables." Evidently, all the time Stephen was waiting on tables and doing all the things that he needed to do as a deacon, he also preached the Word of God. He also studied the Word of God. He was familiar with the Word of God from Genesis all the way through Malachi. And he used it to preach God's Word. 7 and verse 1, we have Stephen being accused falsely, like his Lord and Savior was, of blaspheming God and blaspheming Moses. Epende hoc akiris, e kauta hutos eke. And the high priest said to him, "If these things are really so, are the things they said about you really so?" And then Stephen begins his great message. Now, I want you to understand that Stephen was inspired of God to preach this message. And Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, recorded it evidently verbatim for what Stephen had said. Hode ethe andres adelphoi, kai pateras, accusate hothios teis gloxes, ofse to patri himon abram, onte ente Mesopotamia, prin e kataokese auton en kara karan. Furthermore, Stephen said, "Men, brethren." He calls them men. They're the leader of a household. He calls them brethren. And then he uses another term here. Men, brethren, these are his relation. And then he says, fathers. Fathers here are like the grandfathers. They are the fathers over households and over families. Fathers, ye heard the God of glory. He appeared, ho theos tes doxas. He appeared to our father, or the father of us, Abram. Now the word Abraham It doesn't say Abraham here, it says Abram. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means exalted father of a multitude. He said, still being in Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia, remember what Mesopotamia means, Marilyn?
The land between the
Tigris and the Euphrates, while he was still over there in Mesopotamia. Before that he dwelled in Haran. Before he dwelled in Haran. Kai epen pros auton ex elthe, ectes gay, si kai ectes sina genias, su kai duro. Ace tain gain ain on sea dexel. And he said to him, you get out of here. That comes from Ek and Ago, or Ek and Erkamai. He said, you get out of this land. Get out of this land. The land that you've been living in. The land belonging to you and you belonging to this land. And out of your kindred, your contemporaries, and you come unto the land or the earth, which forever to you I shall point out. Whichever to you I shall point out. You come and follow me. Now, why did God want Abraham to leave, or Abram to leave Mesopotamia? What was in Mesopotamia? Well, we know Abraham was not that far removed from Noah. Noah had been there. And we know that in the days of Noah that only his three sons and three daughter-in-laws and his wife got on that ark. A very small percentage of the earth. And now, they're the ones that populated this area. But what happened? The greatest majority of them had become pagans. Pagans. And now, God is telling him to get away from your contemporaries. Get away from your kindred. Get out of the land that I tell you about and go into another land that I'm going to point out to you. That word dexel, that means to point out. Our word index finger comes out. I'll point it out to you, Abraham. Tote ex elthon, ectes kaladeon, kato kaisen, en koran, kaikathen, meta, to, apothenain, ton patera. Altu meta hisen. Al ton ace tain gain taute. Ace ain hemes nin kata oikete. Then, having gotten out of the land of the Chaldeans, that's down there in the Mesopotamia, he dwelt in Haran. And from there, after that, his father died. He removed him. God removed him unto the land, this land, in which ye now are dwelling. Ye now are dwelling for yourselves. 7 and verse 5 now. Kai uk edokin, alto, kleronomion, en alte ude bema, podos, kai, apangalato, dune, alto, ace, kataskesen, alten, kai to, spermati, altu meta, or met, that is, auton, uk, ontos, auto, techno. And not he gave to him an inheritance, a kleronomia. That word there was where we get the word lot law. He didn't give him an inheritance in her, nor a space as much as that his foot could cover. And he promised to give it to him for a possession, her, meaning the land, and to the seed, the spermate of him, with him. And he hadn't even had a child yet, is what it says. He didn't even have a child yet. Elalason de hutos ho theos. Hote este to sperma auto para ocon en ge alatria. Kai dulo susan auto kai kakao susan ete tetra kosia. And God spoke to him in this way. Now the word spoke there means he spoke to him in human language. That it shall be the seed of him, what we might call pilgrims, in a land belonging to somebody else. And they shall be enslaved in that land. And they shall be treated, that word kakeo, that means horribly, distastefully, for years, 400. 400 years your children are going to be down in this land. A different land from a different people. Verse number 7. Kai to ethnos o en du lelusen krino ego hothios e pan kai meta tauta ekel lusanto kai la trulusen moi ento topo tuto. And the nation whomever they shall become slaves to, I shall judge. I shall judge. Exactly what it says here. I shall judge. The God, he said. And after these things there shall come out, and they shall worship me in this place. And that's Jerusalem. Kai edokin auto diethekein peritomes kai hutos eg nason ton Isaac kai peritemen auto te hemera te akdoe kai Isaac ton Yekabu kai Yekabu tus duodeca patriarchas. And he gave to him a covenant, a cutting, diatheke. The word cutting or covenant there means to cut and divide. What they actually did in this covenant is they would take animals and they would lay out pallets, tablecloths on the ground. They would slaughter these animals and they would divide them up and put half of the animal on one tablecloth and half of the other. And they would sit there and they would discuss a covenant, a cutting, until they ate up all the food. And so they got acquainted, they fellowshipped, and they did all of this in this barith, in this cutting, the atheke. They gave him a covenant of circumcision. Circumcision. Now, God gave this covenant to Abraham. And it is said by the rabbis that Abraham would question all of those of his company, of his family, of his possession, and he would have them recite their conviction of faith in this God that he served. And then that he would baptize them, dipping them and washing away the old filth of the flesh. Because now they're going to have a new covenant, a different covenant than whatever family ties they had in the past. And then, after they cleaned them, after they washed them, after they bathed them in these baptismal fonts, then he would cut away the foreskin of their flesh. Now, that is a very private, and that is a very sensitive area that's going to be circumcised. It's going to make them look different than the other people. This land and this time that they lived in is quite different. It is said that when they came upon each other, they would show them that they were circumcised, show each other that they were circumcised, that we are covenant. Like I said, this is a painful act of belief. When we're baptized, when we put on Christ, it is painful because we leave behind things of the world that we like. We leave those things behind. These men, whoever they were, the women, the children, all of those that were circumcised, they no longer had entities or ties with their former relations and former families. When we become a child of God, we have a new family. And thus he begat the Isaac, Itchik. Now we know that Sarah was Isaac's mother. She was a woman almost 100 years old. Abraham was 100. And Sarah... conceived miraculously and brought forth a child. And Isaac married a young girl by the name of Rebekah. And it was 20 years before Rebekah got pregnant. And she had a miraculous child. And then it says, he circumcised him in the eighth day. And Isaac circumcised Jacob. It just totally leaves out Esau, doesn't it? Because he's not covenant. He was the firstborn, too. That's what we call the rejection of the firstborn. And Jacob circumcised the 12 patriarchs, the first fathers, the fathers of the tribes of Israel. Let's go on to verse number 9. Kai hoi patriarche, thelusantes, ton Yosef, apidonte ace, Egypton, kai a hothios met autu. And the patriarchs, having become infuriated and jealous of Joseph, they sold him out unto the land of Mitzrayim, the land of red mud and canal banks, or in Greek, Egypton, which we get a word Egypt. And God kept on being with him. God kept on being with Joseph. Verse number 10, Kai exilato, auton ek, Poson, ton, Silepton, alto, kai, edokin, alto, karin, kai, sophion, enotion, pharao, basileus, Egyptu, kai. katesthesi, auton, agumenon, f aegypton, kai f holon, ton, oikon, auton. And he rescued him out of all of his inflictions, of all of his afflictions, all of his the pressure that he was under. You know, his brothers hated him. Joseph's brothers did. They took him and threw him in a cesspool, basically. And they sold him two times before he ever got out of there. Sold him one group and then sold him to another group. Out of afflictions, out of his afflictions, and he gave to him favor and wisdom. Grace down in the presence of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The king of Egypt. And he appointed him governor, ruler over Egypt and over the entire house of Pharaoh, or the house of him. Well, let's go back and read this from the Amplified Bible up to where we are. And that's where we're going to finish this lesson right now. And the high priest asked Stephen, "Are these charges true?" And he answered, "Brethren and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory." Now, this should have got all of their attention. First of all, he includes the whole crowd, doesn't he? He said, human beings, men, brethren, my family, and fathers, the head of the families, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham. He's getting their attention. And everything that he says, they are having to agree with. Stephen was a student of history. When he was still in the land between the rivers, Mesopotamia, and he went to live in Haran. Now, Genesis 11:31 and 15:7 is where it goes back to. This is the first part of the book of Genesis. Genesis has 50 chapters. It's in the first 20% of the book of Genesis. And he said to him, "Leave your own country and your relatives and your contemporaries, and come into the land and region that I will point out to you." Genesis 12:1. And then he went forth from the land of the Chaldeans, and he settled in Haran. And from there, after his father died, see, God had to move him by stages. His brother died, and then his father died, and now God can use Abraham. He got rid of all the baggage. And God transferred him to this country in which you are now dwelling, Palestine and Jerusalem. And he gave to him an inheritable property. He gave to him no inheritable property in it. No, not even enough to set his foot upon. But he promised that he would give it to him for a permanent possession and to his descendants after him, even though yet he did not have a child at all. He thought Eliezer was going to be his heir. And in this effect, what God told him, that his descendants would be aliens and pilgrims in a land belonging to other people, who would bring them into bondage and ill-treat them 400 years. Now, that's a long time, people. Now, I know that these people were living over 100 years at this time when Abraham was there. Abraham lived quite a few years. Isaac and Jacob lived long lives. But still, we got at least 4 to 6 generations. That's a long time to remember the promise, people. And yet they did. The land belonged to other people who were bringing them into bondage and ill treat them for 400 years, over four generations. But I will judge the nation to whom they shall be slaves, said God. And after they shall escape, and they'll come forth and they'll worship me in this very place right here, Jerusalem. This is the foreknowledge of God. This is God's unpreventable progress. Like this map says out there, God's plan of the ages. And God made with Abraham a cutting, a covenant, an agreement. By the way, an unconditional covenant. And religiously observed, of which circumcision was a seal. And under these circumstances, Abraham became the father of Isaac. And he circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac did so when he became the father of Jacob. And Jacob, when each of his sons was born, he circumcised them on the eighth day. All 12 of the patriarchs. And the patriarch, Jacob's sons, boiling with envy and hate and jealousy, sold Joseph into slavery into Egypt. But God kept on being with him. Verse number 10. And he delivered him from all his distressing affliction, won him goodwill and favor and wisdom and understanding in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him governor, ruler over all Egypt and all of his household. Now let's look at some things that happened here in Joseph's life. First of all, his brothers hated him. They threw him down in basically a cesspool. Left him down there. They wanted to kill him. But one of his brothers stood by him. And they sold him down into Egypt. He went down into Egypt and he went into what we call a eunuch's house. This man was a eunuch. He was over slaughtering and feeding all the household and all of the king's family. And in that household, this eunuch had a wife, I guess, for decoration only. Because he was a eunuch. Now this eunuch made Joseph superintendent over all of his house. And he had a wife. And this wife wanted some masculine company. And she flipped out over Joseph. And she tried to attract herself to Joseph. And she tried to seduce Joseph. But Joseph looked at her and says, I am put over everything in your husband's and my master's house. I have rulership over all of it, except for you. And I will not cross those boundaries. She did everything she could do to seduce Joseph. In the book of Jasher, it tells about that. Historical book of Jasher. Finally, she got everybody out of the house and she disrobed Joseph and begged him to sleep with her. Joseph would not do it. She screamed and hollered as if Joseph had attacked her. And then, I don't believe his master believed the wife. Because if he believed his wife, he would have had Joseph crucified, impaled, or murdered. And he didn't. He put Joseph in prison. And when Joseph's in prison, the head warden of the prison puts Joseph over all the prison.
Over what?
Over the whole prison. And while he was in prison, people came in there from Pharaoh, his personal handmaids and servants, the baker and the wine taster. And they had dreams. God gave them dreams, hypnosis, hypnotic trances. And Joseph interpreted both dreams. One was good, a good ending, and the other was a bad ending. But Joseph interpreted them both. And then he told them, he said, when you get back into Pharaoh's house, don't forget me. But he did. But all the time, Joseph was over all the prison. He had great privileges and great honor. And God was, under any circumstance, wherever he went, God upheld him as an honorable man. And then God set Pharaoh dreams. And Pharaoh was in hypnotic trances in his sleep. And he kept seeing these dreams. And then the one man that had gone back into his service, Pharaoh kept saying, I want somebody that can interpret this dream. I want somebody that can interpret this dream. I demand that you tell me what this dream means. And they said, I know a guy that can interpret dreams. So they brought Joseph before him and he said, can you interpret the dream for me? And he says, I don't do it, God does it. Jehovah Elohim. I'll tell you what those dreams mean. I'll tell you what God says they mean. You're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And what you need to do is get somebody and appoint him over all of your goods and to put up storehouses where you will have, you have the 7 years of plenty, then you're going to have the 7 years of famine. And so that you can live through the 7 years of famine, you have to save. You have to have storehouses. You have to have grain for all these 7 years. Now, Joseph tells the Pharaoh that, and then Pharaoh says, well, you're the guy. You're it. So Joseph bought the world and handed it in Pharaoh's hand. When the world ran out of goods, they came down there to him, and all of the land everywhere, they had to sign the title deed over for grain. And Joseph bought the whole physical world around Egypt and handed the deed to Pharaoh, except for the deed of the land of the priest. And then Pharaoh gave him a wife, which was a royal family of the priest. And there's where we are right now. In this book, Stephen is rehearsing the history of Israel. He said, I'm part of it, you're part of it. I'm part of it, and you're part of it. Esau didn't believe. Jacob believed. Joseph's brothers did not believe the dreams that he was having. Even his own father, Jacob, had doubts about it. But God proved those dreams to be absolutely valid. Now, God has a plan for your life, wherever you are in the world. You're not here for your own self. You're not here just to take up space and breathe up air. God has something for you to do where you are. He has a family for you to raise. He has people for you to influence. And he has a job for you. What is your job? First of all, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't you? Number one, you need to follow him and to teach his word and to honor him with your life. And to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord the best you can. I'm going to tell you something. When you raise your children up to 18 and 20 years old, that's the end of it. Then they go on their own. They're going to go do whatever they have to, like either Esau or Jacob. And were you, if you were raised in church, were you an Esau or were you a Jacob? What were you? An Esau or Jacob? Our Heavenly Father, I send this message out for your honor, for your glory. I pray that you touch people's lives with it, that you nurture them, feed them, and touch their lives for your honor and glory. I pray that you draw people closer to you every day, that you touch lives from one end of this country to the other, and touch the students that you've given me in your work. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.